Welcome to the Felix Umbridge Show.
All right, we are live.
Ooh,
it's official now.
So alive. We are here. We are back. Something is happening here. I think that's better.
There we go. We're a little more normal now.
Baby.
That's better.
So we're in the house. is that how all the cool kids say it today? We are back in the house.
Worms in the house.
Yeah. We were gone a week ish. And a lot happened in the last week, and we will get into all of that. But holy crap.
It has been one crazy week.
So this is the Felix Umbridge Show. I'd like to welcome everybody to another exciting episode of Felix Umbridge.
Yes. Apparently, he decided to have us back again. He needed
to call us in last minute. It seems that Felix Umbridge has contracted coronavirus.
Yes. Well,
he's got the China bug. Yeah, but don't worry, he'll be better in a couple days.
Although he'll be sequestered for 2 weeks, like everyone else has.
We think he got it from a dirty face mask at the Walmart parking lot.
Reuse, recycle.
That's it.
I guess there are some dangers to that after all.
Exactly. You know, and here I've been collecting them. Oh, well.
And just so everybody's aware, we don't need to be sequestered because we've never actually met Felix in person.
No, we're like Charlie's Angels.
We're the angels?
We are the angels. I would be the Farrah Fawcett angel.
Oh, I'm definitely the other one.
The other one.
Jacqueline Smith.
Yes, Jacqueline Smith. And then there's the other one. The two hot ones and the smart one.
Of which we are neither.
No, we're the old wormy ones.
We are the worms.
We are Felix's worms.
Felix's worms. There we go.
Felix is he's out. He's out for a couple days because he's enjoying some corona. Like I said, he feels wonderful. He says he'll be back in 2 days because that seems to be the running course for this.
Well, I think in the spirit of solidarity, we should get corona too.
Yes, I believe we should. So I did bring some. And the good thing about this corona is it lasts for 3 days. Oh, no, okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
That makes that fun. I've got fancy, like, ooh, wow. Oh, that was right in the mic. That was great. Yeah. So here we go. We are now about to.
Cheers.
Take in our corona.
Corona. Yeah. Mm. Corona Extra.
You know, I really wonder. Simply because of its name, has it sold more or less?
I'm almost thinking more. I've bought more Corona since all this because there's a certain irony in it. So we need to introduce ourselves. We don't deserve names because we are the lowest, most marginalized,
worst form of any existing life form on the cross-sectional hierarchy.
We are the lowest life form on this flat earth.
That's right. We are part of the lowerarchy.
We are the lowerarchy. We are white,
old
Republican.
Yes.
Men.
And I am even more officially old.
Did you have a birthday?
On Sunday.
Happy birthday.
Thank
Worm
you.
One. Worm One had a birthday.
I am a year closer to dead.
Wow. Cool. Well, congratulations on that.
Life is one of those things where getting to the finish line is not the most desirable outcome.
No. Exactly. I'm almost there. I'm so happy I'm almost there. Though this year, if you
can see the finish line, you're kind of like, I might want to slow down my pace a little bit.
Back a little bit there. But we are worms. We are worms. And I am worm two on
channel
one. And
that's
you
right.
are worm one
on channel two.
Channel two. Because I've only had one sip of Corona. I did not fuck that up this time.
That's right. Although the more Corona we put into our system,
the more fun this podcast will become.
We might even end up on oxygen too.
Instant fun. Just add beer.
Do really the news cycle is basically two things as of this afternoon.
Yes. What's the two things you're thinking of?
The number one thing is the president contracting coronavirus.
Yes.
And the number two thing is one of the American rock and roll icons passing.
Yeah. Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen. Yeah. Yes.
Grew up on Eddie Van Halen.
Same here.
He was a part of this nutritious breakfast.
He was a game changer.
He was a rock star.
Yeah.
And sorely missed. So here's to Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie.
And all the great music that we enjoyed over the years. So anyways, got some news because the commie news networks don't always like to share things that are going on out there because it will distract from the narrative and the propaganda. So we'd like to bring a little bit of stuff and we call it rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Well, it seems like Joe Biden has landed in some hot water over a viral clip of him suggesting why people were able to quarantine during the corona pandemic. They're saying, geez, the reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelves.
He actually said that. Yeah, so even when he's not out publicly gaffing, he's
publicly gaffing.
He's at home publicly gaffing.
Exactly. This 10-second clip was originally shared on September 29th. It was just a snippet from a comment at a Democratic nominee made during a September 15th roundtable with veterans in Tampa. Commie News Networks are trying to deny he said it at all. They said that fact-checking is showing he hasn't said it. But I'm actually going to include the little snippet right here.
You see, geez, the reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf.
Why need to fact check at all if you would just
report the news? President Trump has received a third nomination for Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, I did hear about that.
According to Sky News Australia, four Australian law professors recently nominated the president for the high honor. One of them is a gentleman named David Flint, and he cited, again, his work with the Israeli and the United Arab Emirates peace agreement that they were able to put together. David Flint went on to say that Trump went ahead and negotiated against all advice, but he did it with common sense. He negotiated directly with the Arab states' concerns and with Israel, and he was able to bring them together. So,
and now David Flint will be canceled.
Yeah, can't have him anymore.
Because now the news media will fact check him.
Oh, he's got to be fact checked.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he's wrong.
And he's a racist.
Oh, yeah, he's so racist.
That's right.
Racist. Anyways,
okay.
On with the news. On Sunday, actor Sean Penn, buddy of the late socialist dictator Hugo Chavez, in case anyone forgot,
yeah,
took the opportunity in a tweet to mock President Trump for having COVID-19, and he said,
"I like presidents who don't get COVID-19."
So, actor James Wood, who's a staunch Trump supporter, responded to Penn's snarky tweet with a tweet of his own. And he wrote, "I like presidents that have balls." And onward, the Dems are pressing. So the Democrats have been pressing for virtual congressional hearings. But they suddenly changed their mind when the GOP suggested that the Supreme Court justice could be done with, the confirmation could be done with a virtual hearing. Suddenly they're backpedaling on that. Democratic leadership suddenly changed its mind on holding virtual congressional sessions on Monday after Republican leaders suggested that Judge Amy Coney Barrett, the Supreme Court judge nominees, that her hearings could be also held online. So no, they can't do that now.
No, that's not something we, you don't know.
So basically, the entirety of our nation can do virtual, but Congress can't.
No. Well, they could, except it's...
Except they can't.
They can't, because, you know, then we'll wind up with that Supreme Court judgment.
And then what makes that even sillier is they can't go virtual, then they can go in person, right? But they're saying they can't go in person because they're afraid, even though they've already had tons of hearings where they've been there in person.
Right.
And they can't go in person, but it's okay for the essential workers that deliver their groceries and serve their food in restaurants and bring packages to their door.
The black woman who stocks the shelves.
Yeah, they're okay to go out and do their work.
Right.
And they're considered essential workers.
And then Congress can do everything virtual except for the SCOTUS hearing.
But then they're essential workers. They could do it in person with safe protocols, right?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's so inconvenient.
You don't understand how it works.
Oh, okay. Oh, they're not essential.
We wouldn't expect you to understand. You're just a worm.
I forgot. It's complicated.
It takes a special type of eliteness to really understand.
All it takes is to categorize everybody else as less than you, and then you win the argument.
Now you got it.
You're a worm. You're a racist. You're a misogynist. Uh-huh. You're a sexist.
Yeah. Now you got it. See? Told you. It all makes sense if you just, you know.
I don't know. Take hallucinogens for a year? I mean, I don't know.
Whack yourself in the head with a hammer? Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel will no longer enforce the Democratic governor's Gretchen Whitmer's executive orders on the coronavirus after the state Supreme Court ruled that the emergency powers that were seized by Whitmer were in fact unconstitutional. Nessel's office announced Sunday that Whitmer's coronavirus restrictions would no longer be enforced through criminal prosecution, effectively ending the statewide mandates for Michiganders. So it seems, seems that Governor Whitmer may have overreached after all.
Oh, you think? Not to mention, there was an interesting rally outside of her Capitol, outside of the Capitol building in Michigan a few days ago, where there are people now demanding Freedom of Information Act lawsuits to gain access to information on exactly what the death rates were and what the actual statistics are based on her similar executive order to pair COVID positive patients with those elderly and vulnerable in nursing homes.
Shh, don't talk. Shh. That's not allowed.
I'm sorry. Is my truth inconvenient? I thought acting like Al Gore was supposed to be virtuous. No, inconvenient truth.
It's so inconvenient. And finally, with everything that's going on, we have to remember that our beautiful First Lady, Melania Trump, also has coronavirus. She says that she is feeling good and will continue to rest at home after testing positive last week. In a tweet, the First Lady wrote that she is grateful for all the prayers and support. Additionally, she thanked medical staff and caretakers both at the White House and across the U.S. Mrs. Trump said she continues to pray for those who are ill and have a family member or have a family member who has been impacted by the virus. Yeah.
And that's very dignified.
That's very dignified, but you know this. First I've heard of it.
That's true. That did not get reported. Right. That she is actually a dignified, classy, well-written and/or spoken individual.
And somehow her tweets just don't have the same well, feel as they, her they husband. Don't. The same granularity. That's all I have. That's the end of the that's the end of the round. That's the news that they're not telling you.
So that's rapid and that's fire. That's just the news they're not telling you that we could find.
Yeah. So cheers to you, my good cheers. Friend. My good friend, the worm.
Yes.
So it's been a week. Anything new? So let's break this down. Let's talk about the tax release, then the debate, then the COVID announcements.
Okay.
You know, that way we can kind of take it day by day. I think it was
Sunday. Or Monday, the New York Times
leaked.
Right.
Like, how convenient.
Well, you know, people want to know.
Yeah. And right before the debate.
So let's start with that first. The tax returns that everybody have been aching to see gets leaked to the New York Times.
Frankly, I could care less how much he paid in taxes as long as he didn't cheat the government doing it. He has been under audit with these things for, was it the last almost 10 years, right. I think it was?
Exactly.
If that's the case and he was under audit, their first argument is, if he had that much, he must have done something illegal. Well, A, that's speculation on the part of the news media. B, if it was under 10 years of audit and they're still going through all these numbers and they felt that they had something they could prosecute him on, there's a very high likelihood they would be pursuing that kind of thing by now.
Now, the word audit, too, carries a negative connotation, but auditing simply means you're balancing out your books to make sure everything lines up. It isn't an accusation, and it certainly isn't a conviction.
Right.
It is simply a process to account.
Verify.
To make sure the numbers are accurate.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time when you've got a business structure as complex as that of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump would be an idiot if all of the billions of dollars of real estate and properties and businesses that he's involved with were all in his personal name.
There is nothing illegal or wrong with using every available mechanism of the tax code and the law,
right.
Which, by the way, the majority of this was set up by other presidents who were not Republicans.
Our previous president set up a lot of the very tax laws that Trump took advantage of to save himself a boatload of money in taxes.
Precisely.
Right.
I mean, and this is...
And I don't have a problem with those tax laws.
For people to begin to jump to these ridiculous conclusions and jump into this narrative, and the news media is betting on this. And matter of fact, they're counting on it.
I believe that this was going to be the October surprise. And because it's right at the beginning of October,
it's just before
the debate,
and it would string out,
right? And he's been so protective of this information that we have it, and we're just going to sit on it, and we're going to keep it, and then just before the debate, we're going to put it out there, and then the world will finally see Orange Man really is bad, and they put it out there, and it's just before the debate, and for a few minutes, it was like, holy shit, look at this, and everyone was going nuts, but my immediate thought was, well, Donald Trump personally, yeah, but I bet if you were to take all of the taxes that all of the entities that he's owns is involved with, it's going to be all in the tens of millions as he has said, right?
Again, going back to my point, the news media puts out this narrative and sets it up in a way to say that him conducting his business and using the tax code in a manner to pay the least amount of taxes legally possible is supposedly a bad thing. To which I say, then why do any of these loopholes exist in the first place? If you want to even call them loopholes.
Right. I'd be curious to see Nancy Pelosi's use of the tax code, or maybe Bernie Sanders. It'd be really interesting to see if they use the tax code for their advantage. Because I've always wondered how people get into Congress and then become multimillionaires. I've always found that phenomenon a little perplexing. You kind of curious. So yeah. This happens just before the debate. Then the night of the debate comes around. And now you're talking to the leader of the free world and a man that wants to be the leader of the free world. There's a global pandemic. There is a real concern about our stance with Russia. What's going on in North Korea? We have peace agreements being developed in the Middle East. We have a economy that is up and down based on how the state governments are handling this coronavirus. And we have all of the civil unrest in the streets with the Black Lives Matter movements and stuff. So there's some really good issues to discuss. And so what does Chris Wallace decide to zero in on?
Mm-hmm.
Trump's tax returns. The most important thing concerning the American people's interests.
Will you tell us how much you paid in federal income taxes in 2016 and 2017?
To which the answer should have been, the fact they were leaked in the first place is a felony.
Right.
So in other words, a crime was committed in order to
embarrass the president.
In other words, his question and the focus of the media is all predicated on a crime.
Right.
And not Trump's crime.
No.
Someone in the IRS or someone that had close access to that information let it go out. Someone needs to be prosecuted and go to jail for that. But hey, no, as long as it's Trump, you know, it ain't a big deal, right? It's, you know,
the higher purpose is being served here. So we'll overlook some transgressions as long as we keep our eyes focused on the goal.
Because the ends justifies the means.
Absolutely.
And if we have to commit crimes in order to get a criminal out of the office.
A few eggs need to be broken to make any omelet. What did you think of the debate? I think we need to crack another beer before we talk about the debate.
to which my answer is, what debate?
Yeah. I think shit show was the word. Cheers.
Cheers. I think the only,
one must never interrupt while one is enjoying the cool, refreshing, crisp flavor of an ice-cold Corona beer.
Corona beer.
Not a sponsor of the Felix Umbridge Show. But if you would like to send money, we'll take it.
Hey, we'll keep mentioning you if you write us a check.
Yes. So, debate.
To which I answer, there was only one person that had any debating up there, and that was President Trump.
Right. Fending off two.
Well, you know what? I think maybe Chris Wallace was a debater at one point.
Uh-huh.
I
felt so bad for him in a way.
Because it
spun out of control within the first 30 seconds. You ever see that old black and white snippet of film where the guy's trying to fly? So he hooks a rocket. He's standing on skis and he's got like a rocket hooked to his back.
Yeah.
And when they touch it off, he starts spinning like he just. That was Chris Wallace.
Yeah. Okay, boys, I got this. I'm ready. Okay, let's go.
it was the worst handled thing ever. He really needs to be embarrassed.
Everywhere I saw everybody, the consensus generally was that this was a dumpster fire. The fingers of blame are being pointed in all different directions, but the consensus is consistent that this was a bad debate.
Yeah. It wasn't even really a debate. It was a playground scuffle.
A scuffle.
Yeah. Like I said, anything factual I heard or anything that needed to be addressed was coming from Trump, but he was constantly being badgered by Mike Wallace. Now, partly to Wallace's credit, if there was any to give, he started out relatively even-tempered towards both of them.
Yeah.
There were times when he actually was trying to hold Biden to a specific answer where he wanted to narrow him down on a couple of things, but very quickly gave up on that and moved on with other stuff. Because Biden was not answering anything. You could tell. He answered absolutely goose egg of substance to any question that was asked of him.
And then,
so Wallace rightfully wanted to pin him down as to exactly what his
stance
move
was,
is, right. And his stance is on that.
Uh-huh.
And his answer was, I'm not going to answer that because then that'll become the issue.
Are you willing to tell the American people tonight whether or not you will support either ending the filibuster or packing the court?
Whatever position I take in that, that'll become the issue.
He actually said exactly what the problem was,
right,
with why he wasn't answering.
Yeah, he admitted to it.
If I answer that, then that's going to become the issue.
Yeah.
Why do you think the question was asked? Because it is an issue. How about you answer it, and then we can settle the issue.
Right.
But he knew that there was no way out of that. Mm-hmm. He went one way, he'd get nailed. He went another way, he'd get nailed. So he avoided it altogether. So what that tells us is, mm-hmm, he's wishy-washy. He's going to say whatever he needs in front of whatever group he needs in order to get nailed and to try to keep a coalition together that doesn't belong together.
And dance that delicate line. And you're kind of led into a point that I wanted to make. And that is that when I first got done with the debate, at first I was kind of discouraged with Trump because I thought, there were several times in that debate I could see Biden starting to lose his focus. And I thought that was Trump's strategy. Let me just, old classic rope-a-dope, just going to keep, dancing around and let this guy wear himself out, then step back and just watch him fall. And every time Biden started to trip up, Trump would interrupt him. And it would almost course correct Biden. And I was a little discouraged by that. I was like, man, I wish he would just shut up because if you've handed him the rope, he's hanging.
He's starting to.
Or another metaphor is he was digging his own grave.
Here's what I found Biden's strategy was. Because he gets confused easy and because he can't put a cohesive thought together and he refuses to actually state his platform because he'll be nailed on his platform.
Right.
What he does is anytime he's hit with difficult questions he has to answer, if he begins going off track or a little off the rails with it, those burritos are killer.
Man, they are killing us.
So every time that he would head off the rails, I will guarantee you he was coached to immediately attack Trump with a lie. Because by doing that,
it would force Trump then to go off and defend himself.
Right. In other words, best defense is a good offense. So
right. Almost trying to rope-a-dope Trump.
Right.
Throw lies out there.
But they were absolute lies. Oh, yes. That's it. They were just totally
straight up lies.
Point leftist lies.
The biggest and most classic one, which was so disproved, was Trump calling veterans, like morons or idiots or whatever it was. That was absolutely discredited. That was the hot October surprise from a week earlier.
And they were all things. Well, and of course, they're all things that are superficial in terms of what the real issues to the country are. And this is why the debate broke down so much, is because it became a bitch slap fight.
Right.
It became a, it was like two drunk guys trying to swing at each other.
Right. So getting back to what I was saying, I got out of that debate saying, man, I think that was a poor showing on Trump. I think he wasn't, not that he wasn't prepared. He just winged it and allowed and just was so interruptive. But then I started to have a different thought, started to formulate in my head. And my thought was, what if Trump's actual strategy was to divide the left? By trying to corner Biden into these, like you're saying, to take a stand, where are you on this? Where are you on that? And I think Trump kind of succeeded. Because when Biden would trip up, he'd like, you just lost all your Bernie supporters.
Yeah.
He would pause long enough to say that. And I think going back and re-looking at what was going on from that perspective, I think Trump did have a strategy. And that was,
he never thought he was going to win anybody.
Trump did not need to do anything for his base.
Right.
We know his stances. He's got our support. And none of us, I don't think any Trump supporter expected Trump to be any less Trumpy at this debate.
Yeah, pretty much not. I mean, he's always been pretty, smacky in the head, Bronx brawler type.
So he didn't need to worry about that. But what he did was he took advantage of the opportunity to divide the left. And since the debate, I think there has been some reconsidering on the left of Biden, because I think what's happening is I'm seeing a trend of, with the very few minute number of Democrats that I affiliate with. I have seen a trend of people saying that they're not going to vote. I don't support Trump. There's no way I'm voting for Trump. Orange man bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like Biden. You know, it's like I wanted Bernie, or I wanted, you know, they'll name some other candidate or some other platform, and they just, Biden isn't what we want. It's not what I want. I've heard that a few times. And the solution I've heard four times now is from four different people is that I'm not going to vote for a president this year. I will sit that I will sit on the sidelines. I'm going to vote for my local candidates, my state candidates. I'm going to sit this one out because I don't like either.
Yes. Yeah.
I will never support Trump, but I can't be responsible for voting for Biden. And I think that's what Trump was hoping to accomplish with this debate. I believe. I always go back to his experience pre-president, you know, when he was dealing with the assholes in New York City on these real estate deals, dealing with assholes in Nevada, building these casinos in Atlanta City. Mm-hmm. You know, he has dealt with some of the most hard-edged, conniving, corrupt people that exist. And he's absolutely flourished in that environment. So there's nothing that Chris Wallace is going to throw at him that he hasn't dealt with a million times before he ever even ran for president.
So you might say he's a shark hunter in shark-infested waters.
Almost, yes. I like that.
Which then deduces down to, it's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel.
Kind of like shooting fish in a barrel. So the debate ends and everyone is like, okay, now we're like chewing on this debate. We got another one coming up. And then literally out of left field, Trump has coronavirus. it's like, I wake up and the news everywhere is Trump and Melania have contracted COVID-19, the China flu. And I was like, holy shit. Like, oh, of course he did. Why wouldn't this be the next thing? And I mean, it's 3 days since the big leak of the tax documents. Forgotten, gone. You know, it's like off the radar, like the giant October surprise, the big bah, 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 and it's like wah, wah, wah.
Everything else.
It's like you're playing poker and you lay down your ace of spades and you look across the table and you say, beat that. And the guy goes, okay, touchdown. You're like, what? They just can't keep up. So Trump has coronavirus.
And now they start going about, well, of course, they try to jump all over, you know, 25th Amendment and how sick is
and he's
he?
Gonna
and
die
they're talking about how much saturation, you know, how much oxygen did he really get?
Nothing. Well, so much worse. And I think he looked weak and look at him, he's shaking. He was dead. I mean, they had him dead and buried. They were writing the eulogies.
And if they didn't have him dead and buried, they wanted him that way. They were hoping that that'd be the case. I mean,
if Obama, say, had been stricken with some type of an ailment or an injury, or, you know, it's something that happened to Obama that could be riskful to him, you wouldn't see them that day making jokes on Saturday Night Live about it, or openly laughing about it on MSNBC or CNN, or hoping, or straight up hoping, like this. This proves that, you know, he's going to get his, and they're hoping he'll die. I mean, there were a number of quote unquote journalists that were literally hoping for his death and convinced that this is it. Cause again, they're in this corona fear bubble. So,
well,
they still have this belief that this disease is the Black Death from the 1300s. Right? What did we say three podcasts ago? The best way to deal with this disease is to build a herd immunity. And the best way to build a herd immunity is to have a chickenpox party. Trump had a chickenpox party.
He did now. Well, because Kaylee McEnany's got most of his staff.
Right. They're taking care of business.
And they don't know where to go with this. Right. I mean, it's then there hurt. Was the thing,
and they're all healthy, they're all fine because it's the cold, it's the it's the freaking flu.
Well,
so
the median age of the mortality of this disease is 78 years old. Do you know what the mortality rate of humans are anyway?
Probably about 78.
78 years old.
Right.
So the fact of the matter is, even if you make it to 78 and you don't have corona, you're already in the borrowed time death group.
Yeah.
And here's the other part of that. Of all of those people that get corona, mm-hmm. of that age group and higher,
right.
It's a 5% mortality rate.
Right.
So in other words, even those people of that age group have a 95% survival rate.
What's amazing to watch is Trump gets it on a Thursday. He goes to Walter Reed Hospital. They like draw the drapes and start playing the funeral music because he's dead. You know, they're talking the 25th Amendment. That
25th Amendment,
And Pelosi is already licking her chops. And she's like, I need to be in the inner circle on this because, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, if Pence gets it, I'm going to wind up having to see as like, easy girl. You know, he's off on the reins there, girlfriend.
Well, in addition to which, talking about the ridiculous spun out hair on fire media that's gotten on this, mm-hmm. they've actually gone so far now as to attack the therapies that the president has now undertaken to overcome corona.
Right. What's that? Clonichloroflone. Chromacrone.
Hydroxychloroquine. But he didn't take that.
Wait, he did earlier.
He did early on as a preventive therapy.
And maybe that's what gave him the halo that allowed him to shake this off in 3 days.
I don't know. So, but that wasn't what he was on. They actually gave him two others. One was a high antiviral.
Poxymorphidate. I think they started with poxymorphidate and then bleach. Maybe bleach. They injected it with bleach.
Yeah, bleach.
Mm-hmm. Give me a big old bottle of that Clorox here. I got work to do.
Just IV that shit right in there.
I got work to do. Yeah. Then he's in the hospital and they really they're hoping he's dead. They're hoping he's sick.
Well, and then they're going off about whether or not he wore a mask and when he wore a mask and who the people are around and the fact the family didn't wear the mask.
And then they start getting nervous because like hundreds of people start showing up, like this mass support, this huge rallies outside the hospital. And he decides, you know what? I'm going to go out and say hi to the people. So with a mask on in a limo, he takes a little drive
and they set their hair on fire again.
His Secret Service people are at risk. He's gonna kill his Secret Service people.
So here's a little secret about the Secret Service. It doesn't matter if there's a nuclear bomb going off on top of the president. The Secret Service has always got to be around him anyway.
Exactly. And they are willing to take bullets for the president.
I don't think they're gonna be too worried about corona.
Trump went out. He wore a mask. Masks are supposed to be the cure. So it was like, why is there a problem?
Masks are supposed to be fine if you're in close proximity,
On when he drove in his limo and waved to the crowds. Mm-hmm. But what they didn't like was that, like, holy fuck, this guy is not dying. They saw, I think, what they believed was an unexpected, like an assassin's bullet. Someone else did the job for us. They've been trying to take him out for 4 years, and then he catches what they believe is the plague.
The deadliest thing possible.
And he shakes it off in 3 days, and they are going insane right now. I mean, they have lost their fucking minds over this because now he's like, oh, it wasn't that big a deal. I shook it off. And he's heavy. And he's older, so he has the comorbidities. This thing should have killed him flatter than a bug under my shoe.
According to what everybody thinks the science should be.
Right. You know, I mean, and I don't want to get too prophetic, but I think it's kind of funny that he got sick on a Thursday, went down on a Saturday, and then kind of resurrected
on a
Sunday or a Monday.
Came home on Monday.
3 days. You know?
Sacrilege.
I know. It's like, and they're like,
not the devil incarnate. Right. No, oh, it can't like,
what?
Be.
What? What's it gonna take? This is Corona. He like kicked Corona's ass.
So let's speculate here. Does that mean that now that he's had Corona, and he's basically going to be Corona free and have antibodies and everything?
Right.
Now he doesn't have to wear a mask anymore. Who's he going to endanger? Right. Who's he going to be endangered by?
He's cured.
He's fine.
Exactly.
So guess what? In addition to that, guess what else he can do?
What?
Donate plasma.
Ooh.
So now he's going to directly contribute to the plasma needs to have the virus, to have the vaccine
and
done.
Everybody could have a little
Trump
in
vaccine. I'm telling you, if there's the Trump vaccine, the literal Trump vaccine.
I gave my blood to cure Corona, America.
Oh, God. Can you imagine capitalizing on that?
So I'm wondering if maybe we have any jokes today.
I don't know. We were laughing quite a bit already.
Oh,
I thought maybe I was funny enough.
Yeah, but... No. Not even with your pants off.
Oh, believe me, if I pull my pants off, people will be laughing.
Oh, I would be getting laughed at myself.
It'd be a joke.
Hey, what's red and bad for your teeth? A brick. I got one more. This one's a little longer.
All right.
It's a guy sitting at a bar in a skyscraper restaurant high above the city. He slams a shot of tequila, walks to the window, and jumps out. Another guy is sitting at the bar, and he can't believe what he just saw. And then he's even more surprised when just a few minutes later, the guy who jumped out the window walks back in, sits at the bar next to him. The guy is astonished, and he says, "How did you do that? I just saw you jump out the window. We're at least 500 feet from the ground." And the jumper... He responds, he's drunk, he's slurring, goes, "Well, I don't get it either. But I tell you what, I learned a long time ago, if I slam a shot of tequila, I can jump out a window. Because the tequila will make me slow down right before I hit the ground. And it works every time." So the guy is inspired, and he's like, "Fuck, man, I gotta try this." So he orders a shot of tequila, slams it down, walks over to the window, and jumps out. Splat!
Oh, no.
The first guy smirks, orders another shot of tequila, and as the bartender hands it to him, he says, "You know, you're really an asshole when you're drunk, Superman." That's great. Oh, that's all the jokes I have for today, and I think that wraps it up.
I think that was a good day.
Another often imitated but never duplicated episode of the Felix Umbridge Show is in the can.
Felix Umbridge.
Do you have a final thought?
Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. Yes, we will forever miss you.
Absolutely. That's my final thought. I am not going to watch the vice presidential debate. I'm going to listen to women and children first instead.
There you go.
And with that, Perfect. We're going to wrap this up. Bam!
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
And it's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Hey, see you later.
1 year closer to dead.
Wow. Cool. Well, congratulations on that.